Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Michelle Gunderson. This is December 17th, 2020, and this is our second class in Practical Applications, Get Results with Your Words. We are going to start with silence today. We're going to start with just a brief either meditation or shavasana. You can have camera on or camera off for this part. We live in a world of words and stories, and the best of our own stories, the best of our words come actually from the silence. So be in a comfortable place for yourself where you will be undisturbed for a couple of minutes. You can either sit in meditation or lie down on the floor or wherever you can lie down. Take these few minutes for yourself. Whether seated or lying down, softly close your eyes, and I strongly suggest that you take your glasses off. Glasses bring us out into the world, and we want to go inward. So we take the glasses off. That's a signal to our mind, body, spirit that it's time to go inward. With the eyes closed, take a deep inhalation, inhaling through the nostrils. Then exhale through pursed lips, as though breathing through a straw. And again, deep inhalation in. Exhaling through pursed lips. And then just return to normal breathing. And take this time for yourself. Notice any places of tension in the body. Where you feel tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Notice what's in your heart center today. What feeling is there? And any feelings of negativity or judgment or rushing or anything that doesn't serve you, just inhale and then exhale and let it go. Let it go is not needed in this moment. You can always pick it up after the call. Inhaling and exhaling any kind of negativity, judgment, rushing, whatever doesn't serve you. Taking a few breaths for this. And then with the next few breaths, as you inhale, inhale peace. Inhale well-being. Inhale knowingness that all is well in this moment. Inhale love for yourself first. And then for others. Feel those positive emotions arising, inhaling them in. You can choose one word to focus on, maybe love, maybe peace, maybe ease. Filling your heart center with those emotions. Letting this time deeply serve you. Know that all it takes is a few breaths to remind ourselves of who we are, to know in ourselves that all is well, and to choose to act, to be in our lives from this place. Allow your breath to deepen. Return your consciousness to the room that you're in. If you're lying down, you can roll to the side and press yourself up to sitting. If you're seated, you can softly open the eyes. Returning to our virtual circle, camera on whenever possible, so that we practice that being together. We practice that being present. We practice that one thing at a time. We know multitasking is a myth. We go back and forth between things and get tired. What if we could just be here now? And as you're returning to our virtual circle, one of the things we're practicing here is, today we're going to be talking about networking. How do we meet people? Now, who is it that they're going to be meeting? What if they're meeting this person instead of the person that we were a couple minutes ago? What a difference that could make. Just that one switch. If we just took that away from this call, that can change everything. And then what are we paying attention to? I'm going to be networking. I don't like networking, or I don't like meeting people. I'm going to meet the wrong person. I'm going to be in the wrong place. All those negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, letting them go like we just did, replacing them with, I know I'm in the perfect place. I'm going to meet the perfect person. All of that will change the words, change the interaction, change everything. And so we practice by thinking, well, there would be 99 things I didn't like, but I liked one thing. What's the thing that I loved? And soon our world is filled with more and more of that, because whatever else is happening, I train my attention there. So we do that here with Shavasana or this brief meditation. I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What did you love? Just a sentence or two. What was this quiet practice for you today? Who would like to share? Yeah, Anne, thank you.
I just think that it starts this class with a clean slate for me from the rest of my day so far. That's what I get from that.
Anne, fantastic. It's why I recommend for each one of us to begin your day with something like this. It could be Shavasana. It could be meditation. What if we could start each day with that clean slate? It only takes a couple minutes. I've been doing that kind of practice pretty consistently since 2006. Life-changing. Thank you, Anne. Clean slate only takes a couple minutes. Who would like to share next? What did you love in your unique, your very own meditative practice this morning or afternoon? Who would like to share? And notice how you're using this. Thank you, Dottie. And just before Dottie speaks, how are you using? There was just like a breath, a time for a breath. Notice how you were using that breath. Were you using it in the way that we just were in that meditative space? Or did you allow all the anxious thoughts, or should I speak? Shouldn't I speak? We have an opportunity to tap into that anytime there's a pause. Just notice without judgment, just notice. How did you use that precious moment? And there's going to be many moments like that through your day. How do you want to use them? So Dottie, thank you. What was that for you today?
I'm just going to be brave to tell you the truth. It was a little bit of disappointment, because it was so short.
And you know what, Dottie? I love that, because, you know, how do I say this? Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be drawn back like, moth to a flame is what's coming up. Not, okay, some of us do any kind of internal practice like, when's this going to be over? I'm supposed to do this. I've heard that, like what Jack Canfield says, 1 hour, which is true. 1 hour of work in the inner world is equal to 7 hours of work in the outer world. Am I working too hard? So I better do it, you know? Or whatever experience we've had, Dottie and others, if you've experienced that, have that opportunity. Wow, I would have loved this to continue. Great, I'm going to take 10 minutes after this call and book that out for myself. What a great, depending on the story that Dottie creates out of this, she could go, wow, life is always disappointing. That wasn't enough. There's never enough of anything, right? Or she has an opportunity to go, that was delicious. I even wanted more. Let me book it in my calendar right now. And I don't usually encourage multitasking, but if you want to just take, you know, a few seconds to go in my calendar, nobody can call me 10 minutes after this call and actually return to that, that would be a huge win. Thank you, Dottie. And again, always remembering to mute once your line has been unmuted. If I don't need to regulate that, it just helps me stay present here with you. All right, anything else wanting to be shared about this opening for our call? Anything bubbling up inside you just wanting to be shared? Yvonne, thank you.
Well, I did have that inner dialogue for a moment there, because I was about to kind of close my eyes and do a seated meditation. And a text came in from a really dear friend of mine who just needed my support for a few minutes. And it's like her, the way she entered into the text was, it sounded urgent. And I took the time to just be with her for a few minutes. But in the meantime, I was just hearing the soothingness, if that is even a word, of your voice that helped me stay present and just be with her in that moment. And I know she's okay now. And now I can be present here.
I love that, Yvonne. There's always more to learn in these quiet moments, more than we could spend a week just investigating. We won't, but investigating what just happened and how this makes a difference for our businesses and for our world. We won't, but week by week, we'll add little pieces on, because it's where the words, it's where the stories come from. They come from that quiet place. What I want to underline with what Yvonne said, this is very astute. Can I go into whatever it is with my full heart and soul? And I saw Yvonne practicing that. I don't know if that's how it felt, Yvonne, but that's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. Here is this person, I make a conscious choice, I'm going to be there with her, and I have this as well to support me in that. Yvonne could have been half over there with her, half regretting that she wasn't doing a full med, and then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So it reminds me of, I used to go to folk festivals when I was a student, and I loved them. But the trouble was there were like 14 tents of music. And the way I used to start is like, oh man, I'm going to this one, but I'm missing these other 13. And then I'm not even present for the one that I've chosen. Isn't it great to have many wonderful choices? Can I fully engage in the one that I've chosen? Networking is like that too. We're going to learn so much. You know, like, here I'm talking to this person, but there's the more important person over there. Can I fully engage where I am and trust once I've put myself fully there, like being fully here for this call, so that you can be fully wherever you are next, right? The best you can do, right? To be fully present for that thing. When we don't do that, then a child is there handing us a flower and we go, oh, wait, what was that? And we've already missed the moment. And we don't know when that moment's going to come up. And it's actually all the time when we're paying attention, right? So fully present with what we're doing. Thank you, Yvonne. Anything else wanting to be said? Anything else bubbling up? Okay, thank you. So this is practical applications. Get results with your words. And it's kind of funny, I think. I enjoy this. I don't know if you guys do, but like I do. The title of it is very tactical and on the court. But then here we are starting in silence. To me, there's nothing more tactical that we could do and on the court than to gather our energy first, right? But every week, what we're doing is finding out what are those places where we can engage with our words and how can we have our words have the most impact so we can really serve the people that we're meant to serve, grow our work in the world, and have a lot more fun doing it. So communicating with clarity, confidence, and courage, growing your business with alignment and ease. We start this call with that alignment and ease. Let's enact the thing that we want, right? Not fancy scripts, not fancy phrases, not fancy salesy stuff. Just bring out your own best words, your own best ideas, your own powerful words. Unlocking your own natural authentic voice. This is part of what we're doing here. Nailing your message and your delivery to attract clients and referrals, but not in the way we sometimes think. You're not going to find like little fill in the blank formulas here. Unless you specifically request them, then they're easy to generate. I'll generate one for you, but it's not how it moves, right? Learning what to say and what not to say to make an outstanding first and lasting impression. This is a big part of our work today. Sculpting the stories that capture audiences, create raving fans. This is the work of this series. Mastering persuasive techniques that work in every area of your business, from sales, marketing, speaking, promoting, inspiring confidence, leading your team. So this is what we're up to here. And it may be counterintuitive sometimes. It's not in the way that we sometimes hear it out there. So, and by the way, hi, Karen. Thanks for letting me know you couldn't be here live. Enjoy the recording. So, and remember the recordings are posted for you over there in Story Freedom Academy, and you all should have access now. So, Module 2, what this module is about. So that's what we're up to in the course, what we're up to in Module 2. This one is all about how to establish immediate influence and authority. Making a great impression, and you can see me sometimes I'm reading from my notes because I crafted it. I want you to know what we're up to. Here it is, all right? So making a great first impression, it's an essential skill in business. Most entrepreneurs never learn to do it. And some of them, sometimes we go like, I don't even want to meet people. Oh, it's awful. All of a sudden, I'll kind of get over that and actually enjoy it and engage in it, right? So how do we make a great first impression, a lasting, authentic impression? And again, so you attract the right clients, bring in referrals, and stay top of mind with the people who are your ideal clients, ideal joint venture partners, ideal team members, and so on. So what we're going to do today, discovering 10 networking personalities to avoid and 7 to emulate. So you can network with ease and have a lot of fun. So we're going to play with these personalities today and find out, not just as something that we're going to try to model, something we're going to try to put ourselves in, but instead, why does it happen like this? Why is this not going to work? And why do we want to be more of ourselves? And when we're being more of ourselves, we do these things, right? So it's not trying to emulate, not trying to mimic somebody else, but playfully playing with these personalities so we can see how we're even interacting. Learning how to become the person people flock to instead of the one they hope to avoid. And then finally, working out exactly what to say to establish yourself as a credible, trustworthy, and influential in the first minutes of meeting somebody. What this is not going to be about, though, is like crafting and honing and practicing your elevator pitch. We're going to cover that in about 1 minute of this call, toward the end of the call, because it's really not where it happens. I just want you to know that. And I was at an event a couple of years ago with one of my mentors, and we had this perfectly crafted elevator pitch. And then everybody had to practice it and practice it, and we weren't allowed to change it at all through the whole 3 days. And we sat around the table, and it's not that that's wrong. We can do that. If you want that, I'll share that with you. Again, I'll share it with you in about a minute toward the end of the call. It's not where it's at, right? But we did that, and people did their little elevator pitch, blah, and nobody heard anything around the table. Everybody was so caught up in saying this little thing. Nobody heard anybody. And I was there at the table going a little bit crazy, and people would say their blah, and then they'd stop trying to be on. And they'd say, well, really what I do is this, and what I meant to say is, you know, what I'm trying to get across is this. I said, say that, you know? So cutting out all the blah, 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 all the efforting, all the forcing, letting it be easy, letting it be fun. This is a big part of what we're doing today. All right. Any quick questions or things that must be said? Like, Michelle, I need to say this before we can go forward. So much I want to share with you today. Okay. Let me see here. So just a couple of announcements as we get underway here. Let's see. Holiday hours. So our office, our offices will be fully closed December 24th through January 4th. We're going to return on January 5th. So any correspondence received in this time will be replied to on the 5th and the 6th. So please remember that. And I really encourage you to take this time, take this space for yourselves as well. Just like Anne talked about, coming in with that clean slate. What if we could come into our year with a clean slate? And this company is finally modeling that. We've been working toward it. So I hope that you're going to do the same. Our next call date, our next call is Thursday, January 7th at our usual time, 12:30 Mountain Time. So make sure you have it in your calendar. And our next call is all about speaking. So the one thing I do encourage you to do before our next call is go book a speaking date. You could do that today. Because once you have a date on the calendar, what we do on January 7th will be so much more real to you. Michelle, I'm speaking next week. Will you please tell me what to speak about? You know, how do I do that? You know, or I'm speaking at the end of the month, or actually I already just did a talk and here's my questions. I talked to one person in my living room. It was my parents. We had somebody do that last year. You know, I practiced with them and now I have these questions. So book a talk. And if you think you're not a speaker, aren't you always speaking to at least maybe one person in your living room? Or do you say, hey, could I just practice with you? You know, so we all are speakers in some way, shape, or form, whether you're speaking in front of one or some of my clients have done, spoken in front of thousands. So whatever that is, book a time to speak in front of somebody about the thing that you do. And then that will really help land the call on the 7th. Recordings. You all have access to Practical Applications course inside our Story Freedom Academy. Your username and password are included in each of the reminder emails. So we want to make it really easy for you. If for some reason you're having trouble accessing it, please contact Amy, amy@michellegunderson.com. So amy@michellegunderson.com. Please be sure to check this in the next few days in case you want to access these recordings over the holidays, because again, we'll be closed as of December 24th. So you all have access to recordings, to handouts, to all kinds of cool stuff. The Facebook group, questions and discussion for this course will take place inside our dedicated practical applications course. So some of you have been posting there already. The link to join also is always included in the reminders. If you need to request to join, Yvonne, do you have that in front of you? Can you put the link in the chat for me, please? Thank you. Questions, please post your questions each week in the In Practical Applications Facebook group. There'll always be one dedicated spot for that call. And you can post more than once. You could make it a habit to post a question after each call so that you've always posted a question. You could post three questions or however many questions as you want, right? The more I know what your questions are, the more I can help you specifically with what it is you need. All right, so that's it for announcements. Questions, anything unclear? All good? Let me see, okay. Questions. So speaking of questions, we have some great questions posted. One by Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Hope you're listening to this in the recording. And several questions by Mary Kay. I can't see you, Mary Kay, but I know you're here. Bless you for your, you posted three questions. That's awesome. So I'm going to start with, let me see. Why don't I reverse that in case I didn't hear from Michelle. So in case she's going to be on her way, in case then she'll be here. Let me know beforehand, by the way, if you know you're not going to be on a call, you can still post a question and just say, I won't be there, but please answer it. Yeah, Yvonne, go ahead.
She was here earlier, but then she jumped off. So.
Okay, thank you for noticing that for me. So let me circle in case she's just something came up and she's able to come be with us later on. Yvonne, will you call me to that toward the end or when Michelle comes in? We might even just fit it in because I want to make sure that I address that question before the end, but I'll postpone that. Thank you for that, Yvonne. So let's go to Mary Kay's questions then. Just trying to decide if I want to share these with you, and you can have access to them over in our Practical Applications Facebook page. So yeah, let me take them one at a time. And I'm just going to give a fish here, right? Instead of this part being interactive, and then Mary Kay, if you have anything else, it's like, hang on, one more follow-up question because this piece wasn't answered. Let's do it like that, okay? And always, sometimes I'll give an answer and somebody will go, that didn't answer my question. So then just repost it and post on the Facebook page. Keep asking, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. And also sometimes Mary Kay might go, I don't know. And Marnie will go, oh my goodness, that's exactly the answer I needed, right? So just trust, just know that your questions will be answered and be at ease about that. Like the way we entered in, like Anne said, I love that clean slate, right? Take a breath and know that those questions will be answered and that it's not a once and done, all right? And sometimes the best isn't going to come from me. It's going to come from somebody in the community that you'll connect with, right? And connect with each other through Facebook. So Mary Kay says, how would you manage things when you notice a lot of judgment going on? How do you filter which judgment is help and which is not? Ooh, I love that question. And it's almost a bit of a loaded question because one of the things I want to ask is like, why am I noticing the judgment? And I almost want to go to the question behind the question. What is drawing my attention to the judgment? And sometimes maybe it's somebody, a family member in our face or something like that. Or maybe it's just that there's some kind of judgment in me that I haven't noticed. And this might not apply to Mary Kay at all, but it might apply to somebody else, you know, in the class right now. So why am I noticing it first off? That's one thing. The second thing is, if I'm noticing a lot of judgment going on, it could be happening for all kinds of reasons. Beyond the scope of where I can go right here, right now in a couple minutes, but Mary Kay, you can do a follow-up post. Early on, I was teaching and really giving my stuff away. I was not honoring my work at all. This was when I first left university in 2007. And there was somebody who came on with a lot of judgment. I basically was giving things away. And then she said, what? You mean we're on a teleclass and I have to pay my long distance bill to connect with this teleclass? And she was really upset and judgmental about her having to pay that, right? So I had the wrong person in front of me. Sometimes it's just the wrong people. I thought and thought and thought about it, and I was on my way to teach at a day-long event. En route to the event, I raised, and she said, I'm like, so this is just too much, you know? I raised my prices fivefold en route to the event. The next people who came in, fivefold. The next people who came in said, Michelle, I can't believe you're doing this so cheaply. How do you do this? I'm so excited to be there. So who is it that I'm even in front of, that's in front of me? And then what am I calling out of them too? And sometimes it's by other structures and systems. We'll get to other pieces like sales. I think it's two calls from now. So we'll be able to dive into that. I just gave that as an example, all right? So why am I noticing judgment? Who is it that's in front of me? And what am I calling out of them? I've been different people in different circumstances. Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we want people who are, we do want people who are invested in both senses of the words in front of us. Sometimes if we're trying to sell things for 97 cents and then people are putting in 97 cents worth of their time and energy. And then they're, you know, like one of my teachers said, Alex Mendosian said, all the headaches are in the front end of a company. All the rewards are in the back end. So who am I even working with? And is it something to do with my prices? Or maybe I need to be circulating with other people, or I need to see like Richard Miller. He's a yoga teacher and he noticed himself being judgmental. I was attracting judgment. He was being judgmental. And so it was hard on him at first because he's not that kind of person. He investigated. I was at a live talk here in Calgary where he spoke about this years ago. It was so impactful for me. He started realizing that judgment is simply degraded discriminative wisdom. Degraded discriminative wisdom. Let's say everybody is jumping off a cliff. And I go, those stupid people are jumping off a cliff. Aren't they dumb? There's negativity in there. There's judgment. But if I can separate out the negativity, there's also discriminative wisdom. I'd rather not jump off a cliff, please. Thank you. I'd rather have this than that. So if somebody comes to me with judgment, maybe they can't help it. They've got stuff going on. That's their stuff. Can I separate out the negativity from their discriminative wisdom and hear that piece of it? One of my very dear friends, we've known each other for decades, and he's always said, he's always been managing people at a high up level, and what he's an engineer, and what he would do is he would go down to the assembly line. He just assumed other people always had that something to teach him. He'd say, how's that working? I don't get that. And he would have these ingenious new revolutionary things for the company because he actually listened to people. Really important for our call today too. So can I separate that out from the people and just hear, well, there's something, just assuming, he says, I always assume I'm the dumbest person in the room, What can I learn from that person? And in doing that, I bring in a greater gentleness, separating out the negativity part. All right, so that I'm gonna go through all three, and then Mary Kay, if there's something to follow up, hopefully there's something in there for you, and there's lots of pieces there, and for each of you, asking not does this apply, how does this apply to me? How does this piece apply to me, right? Great questions. All right. Second question she posted, where's the tipping point for self-study when bigger changes become possible? Like, how deep do you need to go? Answering myself a little, and I love it. When you post questions, you're going to answer some of your own questions, and then you post another question, your company will move forward, your work will move forward, your life will move forward. So I love that, Mary Kay. Answer myself a little. I think it's an individual journey and a process that flows and ebbs. So the heart of the question is self-study. How deep do you need to go? In the yoga tradition, that's svadhyaya. Self-study is a deep part of the yoga tradition. It's what we're meant to do. We go inward. For entrepreneurs, I'd say it's crucial. And the further on we go, the more the more experienced an entrepreneur is, this is what I find, the more they're attending to that nuanced level of this tiny thing that's inside me that's creating a tiny difference in the copy that's having that is attuned or not attuned. So I would say the journey continues. How do I fall in love with that self-study? And we're doing that every time we meditate, for instance. That is a form of self-study. Oh, the thing that's coming up all the time is I'm stupid, or those people are stupid, or I got to do the dishes and I'm distracted all the time, or whatever it is. That is a form of self-study. And I'd say lifelong. And 1 hour of work in the inner world equivalent to 7 hours work in the outer world? Are we working too hard? And if I go, wow, I don't have time on my calendar for that because I'm too busy doing stuff. Notice that. So we go in more and more deeply the further on we go, and we'll notice more and more nuanced things, right? So I help people, tell better stories and grow their companies, right? And those are the inner stories as well. Sometimes I meet people and their stories are so off. It's like they're waving all over the place, right? But they don't even know what's happening. Then I meet an entrepreneur who's really attuned, who's done deep inner work. And then we can talk at a very nuanced level of just a tiny shift that's going to bring in sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars. And therefore the service and the help for people that brings, right? So I'd say that just continues as much as we can. We create space in our calendars to do that, right? So the third one, how do you connect and let people know what you do but not sell? Would you please review this more? I'd say the rest of the call will help us do that. And Mary Kay, if it doesn't feel answered in the rest of the call, go ahead and post another question. And if you have a question in between time, know that our offices are closed during that time, but either before or after, tag me and text me in that post if you want me to answer it, or lean in with the community for answers. There's such wisdom in this community. Lean in and somebody else will be able to help and serve. So Mary Kay, of those three questions, I know I haven't addressed the third one. Listen, the whole call will be helping us to answer that question. Any follow-up question that you have, either an aha from something that I said or a follow-up quick question so we can, these are great, great questions. Thank you for posting.
One was like, I need to pay attention to how I ask the question, because I was really talking about, I am noticing how judgmental I am, and I didn't even know. I mean, I know everyone is, but oh my gosh, I've been noticing so much. So that was helpful. The degraded discriminative wisdom. I like that. Yeah. What you said about that is going to be helpful.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. And if it's me, can I not judge myself for judging too? That's a weird, the editor, because that voice inside us, it doesn't help. It's like, look, I'm being judgmental. I shouldn't be judgmental. I should know better than that. And then I'm judging the judging. I was like, oh man, right? Can I hold all of that with loving kindness? Can I just go, makes me human? I wonder, and can I go deeply into it? Can I investigate it the way Richard Miller did and know that at the heart of that, there's gold? So thank you, Mary Kay, for underlining that. Yes, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Jot down one aha for yourself. Not does this apply? How does this apply to me? Maybe it's in your sales. Maybe it's the next time you meet somebody. Maybe you're noticing, hey, you're judgmental. Maybe it's some other piece, whatever it is. One aha. So you can do a little mini consolidation for yourself from what we've done. And then we'll move on. Okay, thank you. All right, I want to pick up from where we left off last time and just remind you of some of the places we've been, right? So if this is practical applications, get results with your words, Michelle, why don't you please just give me a fill in the blank? I should say blankety blank, 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 and be done with it. How come you're making it so hard? Well, I want to start with, why formulas don't really work. Yes, I'll give you, ask me the question. I will give you a formula, all right? Why formulas don't work. First off, if we have the fill in the blanky kinds, right? Well, if we have our little elevator pitch and spit it out, just like I said, that's not always the answer, right? People, we get all stiff and weird about it. And once we've got that, it's real interactions, real conversations. What are we going to say before? What are we going to say after? We have a real person in front of us. And maybe our little elevator pitch you know, we already know that they hate the color purple because we've been chatting with them a little bit, and the color purple is deeply in our little elevator pitch. So what are we going to do now? Do we freeze up? Right. So what if we could remember that it's real people having real conversations, that is, this is a natural human skill, and we could just make it so much easier than that. Right. And besides, let's say I have my perfect little formula and then my company grows as I want it to, and I grow, but I only know this little perfect pitch. Well, life moves and grows and changes. What if we could have a way of thinking about this and being that could make it easier on the court all the time? If that makes sense to you, if you heard those words, raise your hand. Yeah, and Dottie's went up first. Like I used to love formulas person, right? Thank you. You got it. Okay. And again, doesn't mean you can't have some formulas, but it'll give you like one millionth of what we really want. What else doesn't work? Well, that book by Robert Cialdini about influence is one of the big books on persuasion. And to me, he's not the only one. Often we set it up like it's a war. Like I'm going to win and I'm going to push my stuff on that person and they'll win or I'll win. And you know, I got to defend myself against other people who are trying to persuade me. And I'm like, if you came for that, that's not here. If you came for power over so that I can push something on people, that's not here. If you came, you know, to me, it comes from service. It comes from connection. It comes from win-win-win. What if we could start from that grounding? That our words and the way we persuade others is for the good of all, and it comes from the deep connection among human beings. And you would think when I say it that, well, of course, Michelle, but out there in the world about influence and persuasion, it's not always talked about in that way, all right? So last time I left you with a little home play assignment, should you choose to engage in it. Go ahead and meet people and think about that acronym REAL that I gave you, right? Why did my daughter get up and come across the room to see something even though she didn't want to? Do you remember that acronym REAL? Relationship, empathy, add word skill, love the genre. We went through that last time. Did anybody go out there? I'd love to hear a couple wins. If I started meeting people or talking to people consciously or listening to how other people are interacting with me, I'd love to hear a win or two. Did you remember to do this? If you didn't, can you remember some conversations? Yeah, but thank you for that, Marnie. I love that honesty. Great. Perfect. So I'm recalling us to this. Yeah. Can you think back to some encounters this week? I know lots of our encounters are virtual these days, but maybe you went to the grocery store, interacted with that person, and want you to start noticing interactions. As you're thinking back on your interactions through this last week, have you noticed that taking place? Wow, there was no relationship. So the conversation was awful. Or, hey, I was talking to the grocery store clerk and I felt connected to her, even though I didn't even know her before. Or I was on a telesummit and everybody seemed to be hammering at each other instead of actually empathetic in the moment. Think back for a moment. And then who would like to share? Think back to even one encounter that you had with a human being. Who would like to share something about how that encounter went for better or worse?
I'll share something.
Marnie, thank you.
So I belong to another course group and we did an exercise where we were releasing our karma. And what you would say was, the thing I wish that people understood about me is that when I'm nervous, I talk too much. And then the other person would say, thank you. And then that person would share something and all you could say was thank you. And there's no story to it, it's just the statement. And man, was it powerful. And so last night I was talking to my best friend in Regina and she was all wound up with the kids, you know, family all living in the COVID house. And so I said, hey, let's try this exercise. And we completely changed how both of us were interacting because we took that couple of minutes to just try this exercise and see where it got us. It was very powerful.
Relationship was there. I'm actually listening to this other human being and I care about them in the moment. Empathy in the moment. Because often we try to just like, oh, wow, if that's what's wrong with you, let me fix it or all multiple other things, right? Empathy in the moment by just answering thank you. Word skill is there as well. Remember, add word skill. There often what we would try to do is go blah, 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 blah in response to that. The word skill of just stating it directly, without trying to cover it over and then the word skill of thank you, and then love the genre. You were given a way that you were meant to interact, and it was a container that allowed people to interact in that way. Speaking is a different genre, a different kind of interaction than networking is a different kind of genre than speaking from the pulpit. All of the acronym REAL was engaged there, and it was a magnificent encounter. I'm not surprised. Isn't that cool? It was like from another course, but of course those were all there. Does that make sense? Thank you, Marnie. Thank you for that. All right. I'm gonna just go forward from here because lots I want to share with you. Anything bursting to be said, without which we can't go forward. All right. So again, this is module 2, how to establish immediate influence and authority. And I want to start, so, and that's, you know, networking. We use it in any time we're meeting people, but you know, we all, if we have a business, we need to go out and meet people that we could actually serve, or maybe there'll be somebody on our team, or maybe there'll somebody will do a joint venture partner, but we need to be meeting people. Make sense? So wherever, sometimes people go, this whole segment on networking, Michelle, doesn't apply to me because I don't network. Well, do you meet people? Yeah. Oh, right. So whatever word you use for that, it applies to every single one of us. We meet people, right? So what not to do? Sometimes it's helpful to start with what not to do. Lord love them. I learned a ton from a training company, Peak Potentials. I studied with them when I first left the university. Love, love, love their stuff, but I didn't love every piece of it. And sometimes we learn by what we don't love. So we were given in an audience of 1,000 people, a 10-minute bathroom break. This is, I don't know, off the rhythm. Okay, I'm just gonna say, I think it was designed by men who were not as attentive to women. It's a good man, right? 10 minutes, you know? And during this 10 minutes, everybody's rushing to the bathroom. They told us that in that 10-minute time, not only do you have to get to the bathroom and so on, and you gotta get back to your seat, and you better not be late, but you need to go get 2 business cards from somebody, from 2 people. If not, you failed. Not what you're going to learn here, all right? Why don't I like that system? Somebody tell me. Yeah, Anne.
Because it's force.
It's forced. There's no time for R. There's no time for a relationship. It's like, give me your card because I'm supposed to collect two, right? It doesn't even matter if you're somebody that's the right person. I'm standing behind you in line in the bathroom and I will fulfill this exercise. Like, kill me now, you know? And sometimes we get an aversion to meeting people, an aversion to networking because we've been trained in some similar system. And I tell you, there was one guy who worked for Peak Potentials. And when I was taught, I took a moment to speak with him, and lots of people, he was like high up in the organization, right? So everybody wanted to meet him and everybody was shoving cards in his face. And I just stopped to talk to the guy. He asked me for my card. I gave it to him and he says, Michelle, your card goes up here. You know, all the other cards, he'd fold them and put them in his pocket. And it's like, they just got thrown out at the end of the day. Like, I won't tell you who he is, but you know, but I get it. Cause he was just bombarded by all these people. And we actually stopped and had, I wasn't asking for anything, any other connection. Just spent the time to talk to a real live human being, right? So another example of how not to do it, because sometimes when we see that and then we see why we don't even want to do this, I was talking to one of our members a couple days ago, she's like, I don't even like networking. And it was for something like this. Like, we think that's how we're supposed to do it. And we don't even want to do it. And then we can't get up there and connect with people. Another one that I don't really like. And and thank you, Yvonne, got that. Another one that I don't like, I used to live at the university, right? I used to teach, research, and so on. And sometimes I would get together in these academic things, and I bet you've encountered it somewhere in your own field. And we used to call it schmoozing. Could you guys use that? You know, like schmoozing. It's like, oh, another kill me now. I'm talking to this person, but this person's a lowly undergraduate. I mean, this is the whole way that people thought about it, you know? And there's the dean of art, so I wanna talk to them. So I'm only half engaged over here. I'm gonna make the excuse as quick as possible to go over there to talk to that. I just like, kill me now. So for quite a while, I just thought like, I'm not good at networking. I don't like networking, that's a stupid system. I'm trying to be real. If any of you have any, you know, like, I would rather not do it, like, you know, those two ways, raise your hand, like you've encountered something like that. And so it's like, yeah, What if it could be different than that? What if it could be different? So the transformation came for me when I read this book. I think it was called Never Eat Lunch Alone. I didn't even read the whole book, but it was something in a story that he told. I'm like, oh my goodness, I get it. I just started to get it. And he just started talking about his family. And then I remembered this thing that had happened to me once. It was years ago, it was shortly after I married my daughter's dad, and I married Rob, and all our wedding gifts were downstairs, and I was busy preparing for my comprehensive exams for my PhD, and my basement flooded. I was in a house and the basement flooded. And I was really upset, and I was like, oh no. And I just was in tears, and I called up my sister just for a moment because I was like, I don't know what to do. Just called her up for a moment, I hung up. I can't remember, maybe 10 minutes later, my uncle Paul appeared at the door. He said, hey, hon, I hear you're in trouble. Can I help you out? Where's the flood? And he walked in with all his gear. You know, he's a handyman, electrician, and he's just like, and he just fixed it. And how that happened? Well, my sister had called my aunt. My mom was out of town. You know, she would have been in that loop. My aunt called my uncle. My uncle called my other uncle. My other uncle was on the way to another job, and he just stopped off and helped me out. And so when I read this book, I thought, oh, it's not about handing out two cards in the bathroom in 10 minutes. It's not about schmoozing and finding the important person in the room. No wonder we sometimes have an aversion to it. It's about like how I have been trained to be in my mother's side of the family. You just help each other out. Just talking to people and helping each other out. And when I made that switch, it's just about connection. It's just about relationship. It's just about helping people out. Everything changed. Everything changed. Now, I want to, Michelle, I'm hoping you're hearing my voice now. So I want to circle back around to Michelle's question. There are multiple answers. I could speak all day on these questions, but I just want to circle around to Michelle's question and address it here. And Michelle, if you have a follow-up question, because we'll be talking about speaking next time, please go ahead and post it. But Michelle says, I have a question. I notice sometimes when I'm speaking, teaching in person or speaking to a group online, that I hold my throat a bit tight and almost push my neck forward. I'm also tired after speaking often, almost as though I'm working too hard. I know this is more of a physical question, but I'm sure there's a lot more behind it, and there is. It's something I'd like to be more aware of and change. Any suggestions? So again, we'll talk more about speaking for sure next time. But can you hear in the difference between networking number one, all that stuff that really doesn't work, and networking number two? Oh, it's just about people helping people. Yes, if my throat is tight and my head is forward, it's like I'm trying to be in the future. And I'm trying too hard. Good noticing, Michelle, right? What is it that I'm trying to do? These two genres, speaking and networking, have this in common. And we'll talk more about the differences too next time, but I'm just there to try to help people. I'm just there to try to serve. There's nothing I need to do or accomplish or push forward, or I'm there to serve. And I'm curious. I wonder what I could say that might help people here. And I'm experimental like a kid. People were listening then and they weren't listening then. Let me like shift this next time. More playful, more open, and more remembering why we're there. So I wanted to give just that one first answer. Michelle, does that give you at least something to go on? One place to investigate. Thank you. Post a follow-up question. Again, I could speak all day on that. But I wanted to insert that here because it emphasizes too that underlying difference, the peak potentials, you know, if they did other things really great. I don't want to, like, it's a great company, go do some work with them, great, right? But that one piece, no. Or the way that I learned in academia, no. Thinking about like my Uncle Paul, or at Peak Potentials, this guy that I met named Thomas Tadlock. And it was really interesting because everywhere I went, everybody was always talking about Thomas Tadlock. It was so interesting. And at the time he was a fitness trainer, but that wasn't how, and this is jumping ahead. We'll talk about, how do we do when we're networking in a little bit, in a more systemized way, but people were all talking about him and they weren't all talking about, hey, you got to do his fitness training. It's like, oh yeah, Thomas, he's so cool. I heard this person after person after person. He's so cool. His cousin owns a computer company. My computer was broken and his cousin came over and fixed my computer. Thomas, oh, he's so cool. I was speaking the other day and he helped me with my talk and he referred me to this other person, right? like my uncle. He was just there. He's like to help people. And what I started to realize is that the people I'd learned networking from, it's like, I don't want to be hierarchical about people. It's just about people's knowledge of what they know of the field. It's like I was learning from people who it felt like they were kind of in this middle road of what networking really is. And then I'm like, kill me now, I'd rather not even do it. But the best, the people who are best at that, it's, they're just like my family. Hey, hon, I know something, can I help you? You don't have anything to gain from that. You know, it's just like all of those real connections about power, persuasion, relationship, empathy, word skill, know the genre, right? All those things were in that interaction. He's just there to serve and help. That's what, you know, having a lasting, I remember that that happened with my Uncle Paul. I remember Thomas Tadlock, real relationships having a lasting impression are simpler than we think, comes deeply from the service. And we'll talk more about how that happens again in a few minutes. Jot down your biggest insight, the biggest thing that you've learned about networking so far and about having that lasting impression. Just take how to establish immediate influence and authority. We're on our way there. Jot down your biggest insight. Just take a few seconds here. Okay, let's hear one or two of these really briefly. Again, lots of training material that I want to give you today. So just a whole shift in framework of how we even see networking. So we need some time to do that today. But I'd love to hear from one or two of you, just a sentence. What have you learned? What's a shift? What's an aha? Like it might be an aha moment, like Hiram Smith says, a bufo moment, a blinding flash of the obvious. Oh, I can do this because I like helping people or whatever it is, all right? Who would like to share? Yeah, Dottie, thank you. And you're muted.
I lived a work life of 40 years using people, and they used me. And I had extraordinary results, sold 50 to 55 houses a year, but I got no referrals. And my major technique was having open houses, and I was excellent at getting people and using them. But don't get me wrong, I did great work. But even my great work didn't make up for the fact that they subconsciously, and I didn't know this, were seeing that I was using them.
Dottie, thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your story. I'm not saying this is the only thing that works, but I would rather have something that, quote, works, that actually builds a life for me, that has me go to bed at night feeling happy, sleeping well, that at the end of my life, I go, that was a life well lived. Or like one of my mentors, Keith Cunningham, says, his definition of hell, going to the, dying, going to the, whatever, the pearly gates and meeting the man he could have been. That's not hell, I guess, right? His definition of heaven, you know, dying, going to whatever your version is of the pearly gates, meeting the person he could have been, shaking his hand and saying, hi, you're me. So all along in practical applications, what would it be both to be effective and to live a life that we're proud of, actually serve people, become more and more aligned and attuned, all right? So thank you for that, Dottie. All right. So, and how do we do that then? Well, first, in shifting what we think networking even is. And second, well, then how do we produce that? Why is it that, you know, how do we become like my Uncle Paul or like Thomas Tadlock, for instance, our version of it, not mimicking them, but being our version of that and not living a world of schmoozing and card pushing, all right? It's about connection. If we're going to serve people, first we connect. Remember Dana? I mean, we're already in relationship. We're already in connection. So how do we do that? How do we connect with people and quickly? Because it's like, well, great, Michelle, you've been with Dana for 21 years. So I got to be with somebody for 21 years. And then people often say, Michelle, how come you meet somebody the next day they're your $20,000 client? How does that happen? It doesn't come out of pushing. It doesn't come out of anything like that. It comes out of deep connection and service. And if it's right for that person, I'll make an offer, not because of anything other than that, that I deeply know that I can serve, right? And what allows for that very quick influence and authority and service and persuasion is not some kind of power over. Like I say, it's about connection. So I want to tell you a quick story here. So again, networking is not at all what we think, and sales are not what we think. We'll talk about sales in a couple of classes. One woman I met at a large event, there were about 1,000 people there. And this wasn't even about my own work. I just knew she really ought to do the work of somebody else there. I didn't know her from Adam. We had about a 5-minute conversation. After that conversation, she went away and purchased that thing. In a couple of minutes, maybe it was 10 minutes. I don't remember. It was a couple of years ago. You would think I've got to get to the chase. You'd think I got to sell something then. You think I've got to, you know? And the conversation didn't go like that at all. The conversation went something. So again, networking is simpler than we think. And it's not about the elevator pitch, and it comes from a different place. The conversation went something like this. I said, oh, hey, where are you from? She said, I'm from LA. I said, no way. I've been to LA before, and man, you guys are tough. You know, I visited a friend in LA a couple of years ago, and it took her, she really wanted to see me. It took her 2 hours to come to my hotel to see me. She drove 2 hours. You guys are tough, you know? And I think we said a few words before this, but I told the story. And then I said, you know, and then she drove back in 20 minutes. Like, you guys are tough. And I told her this other, and I said, you know, I come from Alberta, and I was driving from my home 7 hours east once. And there was just this person, and there was more context. I didn't just leap in with the story, right? But I said, you know, there was this person standing at the side of the road. There was nobody else there. There was no construction, no traffic, just a guy holding a stop sign about 3 hours from when we'd last seen anybody. So we pulled up and stopped like good Canadians, and we sat there for 10 minutes, and then he turned it to go, and we went. And by the time we'd been talking about this, again, we were chit-chatting about some other things. We're talking about traffic in LA. And that had nothing to do with the thing that she then invested in, which was video work. But by the time we were chatting, like, we were connected as human beings. And not even around something similar. It was something different. I'm not from any place like you. I admire you guys. And I was just telling a story that came to mind at the moment. Let me give you another example of how it doesn't work the way we think. I sat down beside somebody. This was at an eWomen. Some of you are, you know, involved in eWomen. This was an eWomen event, and you're given, and maybe you've been in this situation, 1 minute to tell people about your stuff. Oh, is it tempting to be involved in a picture perfect elevator pitch? I'll say the same thing twice. I wait and see who's there, see how I feel, and there's a couple key things that I might say. But this time around, somebody was sitting at the table. There were about 5 of us at the table that day. And we all introduced, and they said our name. And I think she said her name right before I was to speak. She said, my name's Shelley. I said, so it was my 1 minute time. This is really important. You get it right, right? And I just said, Shelley? Your name is Shelley? My mom's name is Shelley. I love your name. Your name's so cool, right? And then people around the table, because they knew about networking, were getting really nervous for me. They're going, like, man, is she just out of it? She's really bad at what she does. I better help. And I've had people who are experts. All they do is networking. You know, they train on networking, and they watch me network, and they go, man, Michelle. And then they start shoving their cards at me. And I'm like, no, thanks. I'm okay. You know? So that's all I did. And people around the table going, Michelle, you're supposed to use it in their training. They're trying to train me, using up 20 seconds of my time, going like, Michelle, no, no, no. Tell us what you do. Tell us what you do. They're getting nervous for me. And there was somebody at the table who did the same, similar kind of work with words that I did. And she was like pushing at this person to say, you need my work. I didn't do anything like that. And then she started talking about, I think it was like she was going to hire a copywriter. And I heard all the things that were going to go wrong with her as she's going to hire a copywriter. And I'm like, oh man, she had so much pain in my area. But I just said, man, go ahead, go hire a copywriter. But, you know, if you're going to, I'd be thinking about this thing and that thing first, you know, like from my heart to yours. Before you hire a copywriter, at least think through these three things. She's like, tell me more. We talked for a couple of hours after that. She became my client for 3 years. I really blew my time. It's not about what we think it's about. Connection. It starts, everything starts from connection. And I want to tell you that it is possible to connect any two things. I told you about traffic. I told you about names, right? Can we find connection with this human being that's in front of us? What if we started there instead of trying to pitch our stuff? When we're just trying to pitch our stuff, it's like we're trying to get married before we've even heard the person's name, right? So, and I want you to know that any two things can be connected. Because sometimes I go, well, I don't have anything in common with this person. They're from Toledo and I'm from Calgary and they are a welder and I don't know anything about welding. But we can train our minds to see connections sooner and sooner and sooner. So I want to just play with this just for a minute. Somebody give me two things, any two things. I don't know, like a dog and an elephant or a bull and a cat. I don't know. Somebody tell me, just unmute and give me two things. Anne, go ahead. Don't forget to unmute.
A horse and a baseball.
A horse and a baseball. Okay. I'm just going to tell a story. This actually isn't even true, but I'm just going to tell a story right now. And I wouldn't pretend. I'm going to tell the truth, right? But, you know, I love horses and baseball because both of them, you know, they get you out into the open air. They get you out into the fresh air, away from the pavement, away from pounding the you know, cement in the city. And you're breathing and you're connecting with people and you're attuned to the moment, because in baseball, it's not like the sports that are about like bash that person and knock them over like football. Baseball is attuned to the very moment of what's going on. And it's a very, it's a game where people really need to be present for what's going on. They're outdoors, they're present. I love them both. I mean, it's not actually true. I don't care about baseball, but I do love horses. So there's one way to connect them. It could be the opposite. Man, they get you outdoors, but I can't stand baseball. But I love horses because, you know, you can start with connection or opposite. Let's do two more. Thanks, Anne. Two more. Somebody give me two things. They don't seem to be connected. You can always connect to people. You can connect things. Give me two more things. Yeah, Yvonne.
Beach, snowstorm.
Beach and snowstorm. You know, actually, it's funny. It feels like the very same thing. That was too easy. You know, I love the beaches of Mexico. I'm Canadian. We were out, you know, in snowstorms all the time. But I don't care whether I'm walking on the beach in Mexico with a blue sky overhead or walking here in Alberta with a blue, you know, when the blue sky isn't there and there's a snowstorm and you can't even see your nose. I just need to get outdoors. I just want to know I'm breathing real air. It's the same connection, right? It wouldn't have to be. It just happens. That's the easiest one that comes to mind. Or it could be a beach in a snowstorm. Let me think, what else? Could be something different. You know, I don't care whether I'm on the beach or in a snowstorm, so long as I'm with the right person. We can connect it through a third thing. So long as I'm with the right person, I'm fine. I mean, I could get sunburned on the beach and I could just be bundled up and happy in the snowstorm. It's not really about where you are. When I'm with the same person and we're laughing and we're talking, it doesn't matter whether we're on the beach or do you get that I could do this about any two things? If you get that, raise your hand. Yes, got it. This is a skill that I want you to cultivate. Because then you meet somebody and you find connection, whether it's about LA traffic or about somebody's name, we can create connections so much faster because we're just saying, hey, I see you. I recognize you. We have something in common. And it's okay if it's funny too, like the LA traffic one was, right? So what I'd love to do, just spend 1 minute. A couple people, let's have you raise your hands. If somebody wants to like be brave, raise your hand. It's not gonna be hard. Let me tell you what you're gonna do. As quickly as possible, you're gonna find something in common between the two of you. And you'll do it just here in front of us, just for the fun of it. And then you can go away and do this with each other, all right? Beyond connection calls, try it on the Facebook page, try it with the people that you see and meet, all right? So who will raise your hand? And you're just gonna name things about yourselves. Okay, Anne is one, and who's the other? Somebody raise your hand real quick, don't think. Okay, I saw Anne, but then you changed. Okay, it was Andrea, who's who I saw. So Anne, Andrea, just start talking about yourselves until you find something in common. Let's see how quickly you can do it. Like, see if you can do it in 30 seconds.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. Yourself?
Well, I'm good. So do you like animals?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you have animals?
Do my children count? I'm kidding. I have 4 cats and 3 children.
Awesome.
How about you?
How old are your kids?
I have 3 21-year-olds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's neat.
Yeah. How about you?
I have a lot of horses, and I don't know how many. And then I have 2 dogs and 2 cats and 2 children and 4
Okay, thank you for that. Look how quickly that happened. Isn't that fun? All right, let's just do this one more time. 2 more people, go. Raise your hand and dive in. I don't care how you do it. I just want you to find something in common. Go ahead, go be brave. When you do it here, it's gonna be so much easier to do it out there in the world. It's harder to do it here. Go ahead. Who's gonna try this out? Thank you, Marnie. Who's our other person? Yvonne, thank you, go.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, Marnie.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
So I'm brand new to this community and I'm just learning how this all works. How long have you been part of this?
Since 2014.
Oh my goodness.
Slow learner.
Wow, or you like to stay in it for a long time.
That's right.
Getting deeper and deeper all the time.
Yes, ma'am. Learning something new every year.
And so it's pretty easy to bring new people in when you see how effective it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So far, it's been pretty powerful for me.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So I want to jump in here for a second. So conversation is going fine, but do we know what the commonality is yet? So Yvonne, are you okay if I show an opportunity that mm-hmm. where you could have jumped in? Is mm-hmm. that all right? Mm-hmm. And just play with this, let it be a game, and nothing wrong with that conversation. Those, you know, it's fine, but we're going for connection. So Marnie says, you know, I'm just new to this. How long have you been in? And can I play Yvonne for a second here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you.
You play
so
me Marnie, all the
go ahead and ask me again.
How long have you been part of this community?
And you just said you're just new.
Oh, I'm new to this community and I'm just learning what it's all about. How long have you been part of this community?
Man, I've been here 6 years, but I still remember the day I joined. God, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot to take.
So it doesn't even have to be. Do you see what I just did?
Yeah.
Because Yvonne, in remembering that moment, is remembering the time where she was in Marnie's shoes, and now all of a sudden there's connection, all right? And like Yvonne, I thank you for this. Thank you for letting me play like this. And Yvonne is such a connector and is so good with people. And so thank you for letting me play, my friend here, because it's just like we can create connection. We can create it very quickly. And it's like, let me go with Andrea. Okay, so Andrea, I'm gonna do again, all right? So thank you for this. Thank you for playing. So Andrea, let's do.
Okay.
And I'm gonna start. Andrea, I love your, is that a poncho? I love that color. Is it green? And I love that. Do you like pulling it over your head? Like, do you do that? Because I'm always so cold. How about you?
You know, I am cold all the time. I have a good cooling system.
Thank you. Thank you. Done. All right. So your assignment, should you choose to accept it, go away and find connections. It can be something, it can be their glasses. It can be what they're wearing. We don't have to know anything about them. And Anne asked about something in her field, but it doesn't have to be. It could be about LA traffic. Do you know what I'm saying? Then also don't think something's gone wrong. If you haven't found that place of connection yet, it's okay. Yvonne didn't do anything wrong. Marnie didn't do anything wrong, right? And it gave us an opportunity to see this. Just always, well, like, how do I connect with this person? How do I connect? What is it? And just be playful about it. And it can be humorous, all right? So. Any questions about that? Does that make sense? We want to start, like, how do we create that relationship like I've got with my daughter? Well, it can happen quicker than we think. Good? Yeah, go ahead, Dottie. And don't forget to unmute.
If you're connecting, you're at a party or you're at a networking group or you're at a whatever, and the person is like the person that is a user, just wants to find out if you're a good customer, or they could be just not very skilled in bonding and rapport, and they're following the directions of going to the bathroom and getting the 2 cards.
Yeah.
what do you do when there's like no interest on the other side to really connect?
Great. I love how you phrased that question, because what if we could err on the side of generosity? What if they just haven't learned the skill? There's probably something that would connect us. And sometimes if it's somebody who's just being super pushy, I find a way to excuse myself from the conversation, you know? like the person who taught networking, who just said, "Michelle, you don't carry cards? Oh my God, you're missing out on so many opportunities. And like, something is wrong with you. Here, take my card and we should book a meeting next week." This was not me, women. Oh my goodness, they don't usually do this, but you know, and we should book a meeting because you're just dropping, you know, you're dropping business all over the place. So I just said, "Thank you so much for the opportunity. Really, I'm good. I haven't carried business cards in 5 years, and I haven't think it's, I'm just real. It hasn't really stopped me, but I really appreciate it. And if I ever need somebody, I know that that's what you do." Done, you know. But also, so I knew that that person had that, you know, energy like that. But then who am I being as I come in? Am I drawing that out of them? Who am I being when I come in? Because sometimes, let me tell you a quick story. This is from one of my teachers. I love the Abraham Hicks materials. And somebody was asking them a question and said, "Listen, I don't know how I did it, but I keep attracting pickpockets. Now, somebody pickpocketed me last time and I keep attracting debt and I don't know how I'm doing it. And I don't know, because I'm never thinking about debt. I'm never thinking about pickpocketing. I'm never thinking about it. I'm not thinking about debt, and it's happening all the time." And they're going like, "You're thinking about it right now." I said, probably there's going to be people around you who have never pickpocketed anybody before. But it's like you're broadcast for pickpocketing. And it'll be some 70-year-old grandmother who's going like, "I don't know what came over me. I've never pickpocketed anybody before, but I just had this compulsion to pick that person's pocket." So can I notice who I'm being as I'm walking into the room? And that leads us into our next component. Thank you so much, Dottie. And I've given you, there's a bunch of handouts that don't go look now, stay with me, right? But they're over there in Story Freedom Academy under module 2, and you'll be able to find them. And I wanna walk through them briefly here. Some of them we may be going through, we may start our next call in January about that, but you can also read through them on your own. I want to start out, I'm going to share my screen and hopefully I can find the right page. Give me 1 second here. Principles of persuasion, that's not the one we need. Okay, I think I've got it. Let me see if I can share this with you so that you can see it. There it is. Okay. Tell me if you can see this. Can you see that? If you can see it, raise your hand. Yay, thank you. Okay. Networking personalities to avoid. Dottie gave us the perfect intro to this because she was talking about Miss Desperate to Make a Sale. Do you see that? And that makes us want to back off. So we can notice it in other people, but it's way more interesting when we notice about when we're being that, right? We can see it in other people and just have compassion for them. But what about when we're doing it? And I can tell you, even though I'm good at networking and I actually enjoy it now, I'm sure that I've been all of these people at some point. If you get what I'm saying, raise your hand. We all have little bits of all these personalities in us, all right? So what I want to do is just go through them, because this is about, well, who am I being? If I'm being Debbie Downer, I'm probably going to attract all the other Debbie Downers in the room. Can I notice my own energy? And this goes back to Mary Kay's question too, of like, how much inner work do I do? I was like, everywhere I go, everybody's like, let me give you this example for Debbie Downer. I can't network at all because I hate it, because imagine somebody saying this, because everywhere I go, everybody's so negative. That person's negative, that person's negative, that person's awful, that person's awful, that person's awful too. They are all so negative. I hate their negativity. In fact, they are all so negative. They are awful, awful people, and they're nothing good on this planet at all. I'm exaggerating a little, but can you hear it? In that moment, I'm being that negative person. Because I'm down on all those people who are down. I'm down on people still being down just like them. And then it's going to happen over and over again. Can I be playful about this? Can I notice when this is happening and make a switch? And my words are going to emanate from who I'm being. Instead of the little elevator pitch, if we don't get there today, I'll give you like 1 minute on it next time. It's so super easy, or it doesn't matter. It's not what matters. This is what matters, right? So Debbie, each one of these, If you think of those, that acronym REAL, and how persuasion actually happens, and how Dana got up off her chair, relationship, empathy, AdWord skill, love the genre. One of those components of persuasion is going to be missed. Usually all of them in these personalities. Let me give you an example. Debbie Downer, man, you know, have you met somebody like this? Have we been this sometimes? 2020 has been horrible. Like, you don't know, even want to hear the rest of my words, do you? Don't you want to back away? Just the way I said it, right? Already that first sentence, the person's already running. I'm not saying happy face on empty gas gauge. But it's just like, everything is so awful. Everything is down. There's no relationship there. All she cares about is herself. She's all wrapped up in herself. No relationship. No empathy. She's so down, she can't even see where the other person is, much less interact with them. There's going to be no word skill there, because all she's going to be talking about is this one refrain. And so it's not even on a point that people will want to engage in. So the words will be wrong. It's no word skill. Love the genre. Debbie Downer isn't understanding, like, maybe she really needs help and she needs to be in counseling. And that's a place to, you know, talk that through, go talk that through over there, or go into meditation and find some alignment. So that as she walks into the room, not happy face on empty gas gauge, she can be real, but it's like, how, you know, 2020 was rough, but I'm glad I've got a puppy, you know, whatever it is, you know, but whatever's real for her. So what I would love to do is just take a couple minutes so we can see what these, if you got that, that each one of these crosses something about those REAL acronym, REAL communications, raise your hand. I can't see all of you, but I can see a bunch of you. Thank you. All right. So I want to have fun with these. You want to be playful about this, and just somebody unmute and do like a 10 seconds of being that person. I'll go first. All I had to say was one sentence. 2020 has been horrible to me. Unless it's in my body posture too, right? Michelle was right to point to the body. You know, so somebody do misspew it. Come on, you know what that is. Just think, imagine. Somebody jump in, say it nice and loud. Yvonne, thank you.
Oh, I got this beautiful product and I know you need it. I know you want it. I know, here's the card. Call me tomorrow, please.
Stop. Like, don't you see how much you want to stop her? Every one of us has that in us. Sometimes we're too rushed and we end up being that. Okay, Mr. Robot. Somebody do Mr. Robot just for fun. And yes, these are caricatures. I get it. But it's so that we can find that little piece in ourselves. So then when I start being Miss Spewitt, I just unpack, you know, I undo, I laugh at myself a little bit and I go to a different place. All right, Mr. Robot. Somebody be Mr. Robot. Have you met this person before? Unmute, undo.
According to Malcolm Gladwell, we should know that there are
three. Thank you. Good enough. Don't we know that already in the first couple of sentences? Thank you. Mrs. Know-it-all, jump in.
You know what you should do while you're networking?
Oh, just, yes, thank you. Nightmares. This is actually painful. You guys are really good at this. So it's painful because you're so good at it. Mrs. Too Vulnerable and Wounded. Somebody unmute, go ahead, jump in. If you're, somebody is unmuted right now, so maybe it's you, or maybe if I'm gonna mute your line. So somebody unmute, go ahead. Mrs. Too Vulnerable and Wounded. Okay, I'll do this one. Dogs, you're asking me about dogs. I've lost three of them in the last year. You get it. I mean, there's a cousin. Some of these are cousins to each other, right? She's a little bit related to Debbie Downer. Okay. Oh, I can't talk about that. Right. Again, it's like, these are caricatures. I get it. But we're just noticing it in us so that when we're being it, we can switch. Miss Desperate to Make a Sale. We already heard a version of her. Mr. Fix It. Somebody do Mr. Fix It just for fun.
Well, I know I can help you fix all your problems with your horse.
Good enough, right? Even in the first sentences, we could have the perfectly crafted elevator pitch and it could come off like these things, right? Miss, give me your business card. Let somebody do just for fun, Mr. Distracted and Wandering.
So yeah, it was great talking to you today.
What did you say?
Thank you. There's a couple of you doing it. That's so great. Thank you. I want this to be memorable. And Miss, let's do it just for fun. Only I matter. Miss Self-Absorbed.
Well, I'm going to the Bahamas tomorrow, and I am,
Thank you. Like, can't you hear it already in the first sentences? Thank you. All right. Have fun with these. This is not once and done. Go over to them and play with them and notice when we've been that person. And when we've been that person, just make a switch. People hear it right in the first sentence, right? And then I want to share my screen again. Just going to point you in the direction of some really helpful handouts that we've given you. You can go through them between now and our next call. So I didn't want to just leave you with the downers. Networking personalities to emulate, right? So this is not because I'm trying to mimic somebody else. We all have these personalities inside us, misservice on any topic. Remember I told you about Thomas Tadlock? Instead of going like, wow, I do, you know, being one of those other, I do fitness and can I show you this and here's my card. Somebody comes in and says, you know, man, maybe they even come in as Debbie Downer. Man, my computer's broken and everything is awful today. He's like, well, hey, what's going on with what's going on with your computer? I know nothing about computers, but my cousin does. Do you want me to give you his card? You know, like this, right? Or can I help you with it? Or I know so-and-so in the room. Let me introduce you. This is listening intently. What's actually been going on with that person? Mr. Not so serious, you know? It's not laughing at another person, but it's like, hopefully we're doing a bit of that here today, right? Shaking it up a little bit. And it's okay if we be these people sometimes. It's okay. They're all inside us. Mr. Truthful, confidential. That's Mr. Truthful, that would be that when I said to her, thank you so much. I really appreciate the advice about networking, but I think I'm good. You know, I get a lot of business from networking and thanks. I know you do networking, but I'm never going to, I'm not going to be untruthful and say I'm going to go to her, but right. Miss Empathetic and Relationship, Mrs. Real, naming the elephant in the room. Actually being truthful. Maybe everybody's thinking one thing, but nobody's saying it. Maybe it's just even the room is freezing, but nobody's said. And, you know, it's like, hey, it's freezing. Are you cold too? You know? Even something simple. Mrs. Free help, but only when asked for. Otherwise, it turns into those other personalities, right? Here's my stuff. Like the story that I told you about Shelley. You know, wow, let me just give you this one thing, because I know you were saying what you want is you want to hire a copywriter. Make sure when you're talking to her that this. There was nothing in that for me. I was just really trying to help her. And then she started asking some more questions, all right? So let me see. There's a couple other handouts I'll ask you that's part of your home play. Take a look at them. Don't do it Christmas Day, you know, or whatever that is for you, Hanukkah. Right? Just like, take some time to take a look at it, you know, before the holidays or just before our next call. I've given you a couple handouts on 7 principles of networking magic, 8 networking do's and don'ts. From what we've already done today, what these things say will make sense. Let me just tell you, for instance, the 7 principles of networking magic. Create connection, listen, uplift, serve. You get this. This is what we've been talking about all along. I've just written it down for you so you can remember. The one thing I haven't said from the 7 networking principles of networking magic, go slowly to go quickly. Don't be in a rush. All those networking personalities to avoid, a lot of them are just, they're in a rush. Here's my card. You know, with Thomas Tadlock, he helped people in all kinds of ways. He wasn't in a rush at all. But somewhere along the line, they learn he's a fitness trainer, and who are they going to think of first? Because they know he comes from service, because that's who he bees in everything he does. Aren't they going to think of him? So, 8 networking do's and don'ts. Don't deliver long monologues where people have no way to enter in. Don't present a canned elevator speech that you deliver the same way every time, etc. None of this will come as a surprise. We've energetically covered every single piece of it. All right. So I don't want to go through the handouts. You can take a look at them yourselves. All right. I do want to go through just a couple last things before we close today. Any questions, brief questions I'm really confused unless I ask this question. Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
Michelle, I I know that I just heard the other day that when you share vulnerably, maybe something you're sad about, worried about, that it makes people uncomfortable and they want to leave you.
So let me stop you right there, Donnie. And again, if you want more on this, post it for next time. I just want to very briefly address this because this is really important. It really depends how we're sharing it. Debbie Downer is sharing vulnerably, isn't she? But there's more than just vulnerability, because Debbie is crossing all of those aspects of that acronym REAL. I can be vulnerable and be engaged in all of the aspects of REAL. I'm relational. I have empathy for that person in the moment and so on. Maybe Marnie comes in and says, oh, I'm, and she wasn't saying that, but let's say she did, you know? Oh, I'm new here and it's scary sometimes. And Yvonne could say, I remember when I, you know, when I first started and I just sometimes I would, this isn't even true of Yvonne, but let's say it was. Sometimes I went to class and I just wanted to throw up. I was so scared. Are we right? She's being vulnerable in service to Marnie. And empathetically, relationally. So when we remember the principles, we won't fall. There's, again, I could speak all day on that, but that's at least a start. You can post a follow-up question. It's a great question. All right, there's a couple more. Yeah, thank you for the great question. All right, we're gonna just wrap this call up in just the next, in a few minutes. We're gonna, if you're able to stay for ahas and inspired actions, we'll stay a little late for that. If you're not able to stay, go and post them. Post your aha, what's opening for you. Post your inspired action in the Facebook page. Remember, you can use, that will be as useful to you as you decide to make it useful. And you can practice there all these principles that we're learning. Hey, let me spew all this stuff all over you in the Facebook page. Notice that. Hey, maybe you can show up there in service. It's a great place to play. You can use it as much as you want. All right, I just wanna get another couple of points in. These are some common questions. But Michelle, I still don't have my elevator pitch. Oh no, I thought we would spend the whole time. Isn't that what it was about? Hopefully by now you're hearing that's not what it's about. But it can be so simple. What do I often say? I help people tell better stories so they can grow their companies. I don't need to say any more than that. Then the rest of it's a real conversation. And what I have in there is what I do, who I help, and why I do it. What's the transformation? Nobody cares probably about stories, but they want to grow their companies. Even if they don't know anything about the story, they want to grow their company. And it's all in a sentence. So what do you do? Who's it for? And why does it matter to them? It doesn't need to be more than a sentence. It's not complex. It's not brain surgery, all right? And I say different things. Sometimes I say, you know, I've been in the field of words and stories over 25 years. This matters to me because stories matter. It's how we communicate. It's how we grow our companies. It's how we talk to our teams. Sometimes I'll come in and I'll just tell a funny story about my daughter. Don't get in your head too much about it and just watch how the other person is reacting. And then like it's a real conversation and it can grow from there. All right, so there, if you were worried about your elevator pitch, there's a place to begin. What do I do? Why does it matter? Who's it for? I help entrepreneurs tell better stories so they can grow their companies. Super simple. That's number one. Question number two, common question, but how do I turn the, if I'm just empathetic and I'm listening and I'm asking them questions, I want to ask questions more than I'm like spewing my stuff. Well, then how do I turn the conversation to what my stuff is? Well, one of my clients, Sheila, was like this, like nobody was listening to her, like nobody wanted her stuff, right? And she just mastered what we were doing here. The next time she was at the same networking event, from nothing to like three people were clamoring for her card. All the people at her table, you know, just because she was mastering this, the conversation will naturally turn. If you're creating connection and it's like, hey, you know, are you cold or whatever it is? And if I know how to connect, right? There's all kinds of ways that it could turn to my work, but I'm not going to focus on that. Then otherwise I'm just forcing the conversation. If that person has pain in my area and I'm so steeped in my area, the conversation at some point is probably going to be something like that. Or if I'm asking them a whole bunch of questions, they're probably going to turn and ask a question at some point. Hey, what do you do? You know, so let it be natural, let it be real and not being in such a rush. Be interested in their work and listen for their pain point. What's their pain point? And then serve and help them, whether it's in your area or somebody else's. how to take them to the next step when you are talking about your, and this is kind of a finesse level, you can ask more questions about this, but I just want to at least drop this in for you. And then how do you take them to the next step? Leave a space for them to enter in, have a real conversation, and you can see it. It's like, wow, hey, you know, you're going to hire a copywriter. Man, there's 10 things I want to tell you right now, but here's the first one. Because I know you're going to need this if you're going to hire the right copywriter. Please at least do this. Tell me, Michelle, what are the other 10 things, right? So it comes out of curiosity. It comes out of realness. It comes out of the deep desire to serve. I'm going to give away my best stuff away, but only when I'm already asked. All right. So again, a reminder, our next module is on speaking. Go and book a talk. Go and do some networking in whatever way that is for you. When you're on the court, you'll have next level questions. And if you don't beat yourself up about that. Show up, be here, and we'll take it further for everybody. Have a beautiful break, everybody. Have a beautiful, beautiful holiday season. And for those who are able to stay, bye-bye, and thanks for being here. For those who are able to stay, one aha, one inspired action. For those who are leaving, if you can post it, as I said, I'm speaking to those who are all still here. Go and post it. Even if you're here speaking it, it's great to go and post it on the Facebook page too. One aha, one inspired action. And that's where it grows from. So Yvonne, you're in my upper left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action from our call today.
Aha would be tiny shifts happen and they can make a huge difference in the long run. And my inspired action is I would like to book a connection call with Marnie.
I love it. Starting from this little conversation here, that's what it feels like. It's great. Thank you. Marnie, you're up next. You're next on my screen.
My aha is, what's a connection call?
A call where you connect each other and see how you can help each other, you know, and just connect, right? There's a short version. I've taught actually a 3-hour training on that before, but like, hey, connect and serve.
My aha is just the whole concept of noticing who I am being. Because I can be very skilled at this and I can be absolutely disastrous at this. So I have to figure out what are the conditions where I nail it and where is it that I'm not so good at it?
I love that, Marnie. Yes. And that is that self-study, Svadhyaya. Let me just look inside. Let me see what's happening without judgment. Let me just notice. And then I can shift and change and grow. This is beautiful. Thank you. Dottie, Mary Kay, I see you still here, but I'm not sure if you can answer. Dottie, if you are able to speak. Yes, I see you unmuting. Thank you. One aha, one inspired action.
My inspired action is to book a talk.
Thank you. Thank you for hearing and underlining that. Everything becomes real when we actually are on the court doing it. And if not, then what's the point, right? So thank you. And what's your aha today, Dottie?
My aha is you're reminding me, and I want to learn more about our thoughts attract certain people.
Thank you for hearing that part. Thank you. Why am I always seeing this particular kind of person? Can I do this self-study to see what's going on in me that I might not have been aware of? And then I'm grateful to them for bringing it out. And then I start to shift, the people who are coming to me start to shift as well. This is huge. Thank you. Beautiful. Mary Kay, if you're in a place where you can speak, one aha, one inspired action to bring us home for 2020. Not sure if you can speak or not. I'll look for your unmuting. Going once. Going twice. Okay, so Mary Kay may have been called away. So thank you so much for being here, you guys. This, I love the way you're playing full out here, both when you're speaking and I see, because I see all of you guys, I'm watching your faces. I know that you're fully present here. If you took in even one piece of what we're doing here, this is world changing for our companies. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for playing full out. I love and adore you. Have a beautiful holiday break. Please take that space for yourself and we'll see you in the new year. Remember to reach out to team before December 24th so that we can help and serve you before we close for the holidays. All right. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you in 2021. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you're so welcome.